The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'uzu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
Salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
Salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We were on a magnificent journey learning about the perfect prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of weeks off because of a very special occasion. This occasion is so unique that from the creation of the universe to the day of judgment when it'll all be wrapped up, this single event has been the center and the focus of the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is that event? Of course, it is the Milad-e-Pak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And today, that is what we're going to talk about. But before we do, let me give you a beautiful blessing of reciting Durood-e-Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Day of Judgment is a very difficult day. And the scholars say, in light of the beautiful Hadith Mubarakah, that the sun is going to be very close, 1.25 miles, I think they say. The ground will be made of copper, and people will be drowning in their own sweat, and, you know, very grave difficulties. It's a terrifying day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that on this very terrifying, very difficult day, there are three people who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, what a place that is to be. So while everybody else is in difficulty, you can be in this very special place. But how do you get there? Like Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three people will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first, the one who relieves my ummati of a distress. Now today, we shy away from this. Why should I put myself to difficulty just to help somebody else? Why should I place myself in an awkward situation just because it helps? And we try to keep ourselves to ourselves. I can't be bothered. It's not my problem. But that's not what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Jiski taski se rote huye has pade, us tabassam ki aadat pe lakhun salam. Wherever Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, the beautiful smile and the helping nature and the mercy to the world, alhamdulillah, changed the lives of billions. So we as Ummatis should try and copy that. So the first, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who relieves the distress of my Ummati. Second, the one who revives my Sunnah. Today we learn the fashions of the time. We want to stay with the trend. But the trends come and go. The Sunnah is universal, both in time and space. You learn the beautiful Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will be the best in this world. It will light up your grave and make you proud on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because according to this Hadith Mubarakah, you will be sat under the shade of the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then finally, the third category of people that Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said will be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal, the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment, will be those who recite Durood-e-Pak upon me in abundance in this world. Try and make it a habit to recite Durood-e-Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least 1,000 times. If you can't do that, then try and make it 313. If you struggle with that, and it only takes a few minutes, but even then, at least 112 times. And present this Durood as-Salam in the court of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and watch how this act of love and devotion changes your life. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now, over the last almost 10 months, We've been discussing the perfect prophets, the magnificent messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we had a plan that once we had finished all the magnificent messengers up until Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, we were then going to move on to the best of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Imamul Anbiya, the leader of all the prophets, Hazrat Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because we're in the beautiful month of Milad-e-Pak, we thought, well, why not give you a taster of what is to come? So today, we're going to give you a brief overview of the life of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both before Aka Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world, and at the time of the blessed arrival, and after. And I wanted you to put into context that this isn't just one event that, you know, we as devotees of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam celebrate. No, it's much bigger than that. The entire universe is waiting for this moment. And there is evidence that from the creation of man, from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, all the way through till the, you know, the last person with Iman, will be looking back at the Milad of Aka Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've got, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, our resident guest and our learned scholar, Shiraz Bey. Shiraz Bey, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, this is one of the beauties of the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal. That, you know, when you think of Amir al-Sunnah, you think of Milad, don't you?
Yeah.
And you think, you could just, see Amir al-Sunnah, Dhamma Barakatum al-Aliyah, with the two flags. And just standing.
You know, there. It depends. Look, when Ramadan, Ramadan comes,
yeah,
Amir al-Sunnah's different.
Oh, different. Yeah,
his body language is different.
Much more serious, isn't it?
He's serious. He doesn't speak as much. He's quiet, right? In Milad, he's always happy. So depending on the season, he really has that connection to that event. And you know, watching him, it makes you get that connection as well.
You get that euphoria, that feeling of happiness. Even when somebody asks, one thing I noticed was that even if somebody asks a sort of kind of a difficult question or an awkward question or a question on, you know, whether Milad-e-Pak, you know, should be celebrated or something like that, the way that Amir al-Sunnah Barakatum al-Aliyah actually deals with that question is amazing. So coming back to our topic for today. You know, we've discussed all these great messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, and in their own way, every one of them was perfect and magnificent. But today we are going to talk about the one that they all looked up to, the one that they all praised, and the one that Allah Azza wa Jal created, made the best of creation and the most sublime of creation and the most amazing of creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the final and last messenger. Because all this series, this silsila of messengers, this great group of people who were going to come over time, eventually this series of messengers who came onto the earth with their great miracles, with their great guidance to guide mankind back towards the right path, and they gave glad tidings, they gave warnings, and this carried on for hundreds and thousands of years from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam through to Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But Allah Azza wa Jalla had planned that after all these, I'm going to send somebody who's truly magnificent. A lot of people give this impression, Shiraz Bey, that over time, Allah Ta'ala created the earth, put human beings on the earth, and over time, the messengers came and they all propagated, they all wanted to guide people back to the right path. There's no doubt about that. And they all gave guidance of Sharia and everything else. And then there came a time when the last and final messenger came, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the same, and that's it, and that's the finality of it. The finality of the Prophet, but finality of the message. But when you look at things, actually, and you analyze them and study them, there was something else here, wasn't there? And Allah Azza wa Jalla had created His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam first, sent all the messengers, and every single messenger from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam through to Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and we're going to go through that chain in a few moments, have all given glad tidings of the final messenger. Even in Alamul Arwah mentioned, before the world was created, Allah is taking a covenant from all the prophets saying, if my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in your time, you've got to abandon everything and you've got to help him and serve him. And so the central theme in all of this
was the final prophet.
Was the final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's more than just delivering the message. This Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the best and most favorite of the creation of Allah azza wa jal. Going back to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, what did he came onto the earth. What did he tell his children about Sayyidina about the last and final messenger? Did he tell his progeny that after me there will be prophets, but there's going to be this amazing hasti that's going to come?
Two things happened, right? Because you're talking about Adam alayhi salam, you know, and I think the viewer, he'd be sat there thinking, wow, this is so interesting. I didn't know he was that deep. I mean, we know he was the final prophet, but we didn't know he had this journey or this kind of, you know, you gave an amazing analogy, to be honest. It's like, you know, when something big's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something big is...
You get the
you know, Harumba, you're going to do a speech, for example, on Saturday. What we do, the social media departments pulls out one poster, then the second poster, then the third poster, and then they put out a little promo, you know, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then the final trailer comes out, you know. First you get the teasers, yeah, and then you get the trailer, and then the actual event. Without any similarity, this is what happened, Adam alayhi salam first, then the next prophet, next prophet, next prophet, next prophet, and then the final, last, complete message comes. And it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them all
as announcers of the arrival of Nabi
subhanallah. That's what basically happened. Adam alayhi salam, that nur was in him, and he would see the nur on his thumbs, and he would kiss the nur, and it was because of that. Some of the scholars have mentioned that when he read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, which he had seen on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muhammad existed then as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his name was on the arsh, and whichever leaf and the wherever
every
you go,
tree of Jannah, every tree, leaf of Jannah, every palace of Jannah, everything in Jannah had this name on. And when Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, this was more of a test for them rather than anything else. And when they were asking for forgiveness in the court of Allah, the scholars write 300 years. And then suddenly,
he stayed in Hind.
Suddenly he remembers that when the first time that the soul was put into the body, and I looked up at the arsh of Allah, I saw a kalima that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And so together with Allah's name, there was a name of a mention of a messenger. So he said, by the sake of that messenger, Ya Allah, please forgive me. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said that if it wasn't for that messenger, I would not have created you as well. And he said, and when he found out that the nur was within him, he said, Ya Allah, I want to kiss that nur. And it was said that in the nails of your thumbs, if you kiss that, you will be able to kiss that nur. And this is why when the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, we kiss our thumbs and we say, Qurrataini Ya Rasulullah, the coolness of my eyes is my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You know,
and this is proven from many of these.
Children of Adam alayhi wa sallam, as you know, they were born in pairs, right? Sheeth
alayhi wa sallam.
What's amazing is, you know, the nur went into Hawar radiallahu anha. So now that nur was then, the journey started, didn't it? Went into Hawa radiallahu anha. And then, so every birth that would take place would be in dual form. So twins, right? And not necessarily identical twins, but twins in pairs. But Sheeth alayhi salam, he was born alone, right? And Adam alayhi salam realized that he is the carrier of the nur that I have. Because the nur was transmitted to Hawa radiallahu anha. And then when he was born on his own, Adam alayhi salam, and this Mufassirun have mentioned, this was i'laman, this was a sign to Adam alayhi salam,
it's time for you,
that he is going to
take over,
be carrying that nur. And from there, basically the journey starts from here, it goes on from generation to generation.
You mentioned last time, a few months ago, when Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was about to depart from this world, the nasihat, some of the things that he said to Sayyidina Sheeth alayhi salam, involved and telling him about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Every prophet done that.
And every prophet. So approximately 124,000, and there's not been one prophet who hasn't talked about the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their arrival into this world. So would it be right? I mean, call me straightforward. Every prophet has announced the milad of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Definitely they have.
And how fortunate are those ummatis who are celebrating the milad of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who decorate their houses. Because every single prophet is
there. You know, the word milad is very vast, right? But generally, what is, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ, that any ni'mah of your Lord, talk about it. There's other ayats as well, for example, if you was to count one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't be able to give justice to it. You know, if you add all these verses together and you look at the definition of celebrating the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, the definition is simple, and you would agree that every Muslim does this anyway. Definition is just to be happy that Rasulullah ﷺ came to earth.
So simple.
That's it. And now to show that happiness, right, to rejoice, just to be happy on the Prophet ﷺ's arrival. You could do that in any method. Now whether that is, for example, fasting or reading the Quran or even sitting alone and reading tasbih, right? Or, you know, calling your family together and having some food. Any sign of happiness is happiness.
But what are these? For thousands and thousands of years, Shiraz Bey, society and man generally, whenever they had an occasion of happiness,
SubhanAllah,
they celebrated that, yeah, and they rejoiced. Whether that was freedom from oppression, whether that was, you know, a water getting, you know, starvation, getting food, becoming wealthy, whatever it was, having children. And the greatest event, because at the time, look at the books of history. That was the time when Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world. That was a time of darkness,
yeah,
ignorance. Nobody had any respect. There was no knowledge. Everything was in the doldrums. Yeah. And things were worse than they'd ever been over the whole of creation. Yeah. You know, values, morals, dignity, everything had collapsed. The entire society structure had collapsed. Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam had given the rules and there was those. But after that, things had just gone from bad to worse.
Mm.
And we're talking about from Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam's arrival to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessing this world. Now, that's a long time. So nobody's really. And so at that stage, so even if you left everything else aside, because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world and changed the world, whether you like it or not, every corner of the earth changed by the blessings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the world how to live, the etiquettes of life, the moral, dignity, honor, respect, everything, yeah? Whether even those people who don't accept it. A lot of people have this misconception about Europe and everything. Mm. Oh, this is a very developed notion. If you look at the books of history, actually up until 300 years ago, for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands, Europe and everything else was in starvation, were fighting. They were killing each other. And, you know, it was really, really a place not to be in. And people were actually moving from here because they needed to get out. And yet you look at the Arabian Peninsula, after the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world, and it was peaceful, it was prospering. Well, it's only in the last few hundred years that Europe...
There was a ripple effect from there. Beautifully said, there was darkness everywhere, international darkness.
International darkness. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lit
up. He came as a lantern, and he sparked up the entire world. There was a ripple effect. When he was born, he changed history forever. The world is no longer the same since he was born. Now, you know, as a Muslim and the viewers as well, we always say, you know, Islam's under very, you know, a lot of, we're going through a lot of, as a Muslim community, we're going through problems. I think Islam is getting stronger by the day. Yani, Islam, it thrives in these kind of scenarios. Since the Prophet ﷺ came, enlightened the community where he was from, Makkah then Medina, and like a ripple effect, it spread. And if you look on the map, you open up the maps and you look from Makkah and look all at the surrounding areas and how far the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread and echoed through the lands, you will see that this effect of his light spread it everywhere. And yani he brought humanity into the world.
It's very clear that there are two things here, Shiraz Bhai. One is knowing what's right and wrong. The second is acting upon the right. Two things. Now, up until the arrival of Aqa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a lot of confusion about the right and wrong. Right? And then a lot of people weren't acting upon what they considered to be right. Now, the beauty was that when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, you know, the path was as clear as crystal. 1460 years ago, it was clear as crystal. And today, 1460 years later, and until the day of judgment, that path, Aqa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through their Nur-e Mubarak, through their Ikhlaq-e Mubarak, through their greatness, through their amazing, you know, it's clear.
Clear.
So that is one element that everybody knows and has lit up the world. Now, what you're talking about is our state currently, and that's the other side of things. We don't act upon those beautiful teachings. Yeah. When the Muslims did, when they followed that path, they dominated. Like in today, we don't. Te wo aaba tumare hi magar tum kya ho. Haath pe haath dare muntazare fardon. We're looking for that treasure.
Yeah, the beauty of Islam, look, the beauty of Islam is it, if a person lives in a cave on his own, right, and he has the book of Allah and the love of the Prophet ﷺ, he will thrive, right? And if a person lives in a community with the book of Allah and the love of the Prophet ﷺ, he will thrive. Yani, if you're alone or you're with a community, if you have iman in Allah and His Rasul, you will thrive under that. The beauty of Islam is amazing. You won't, is not necessarily that you have to live in a community for Islam to succeed. A person alone inside his home, inside a cave, can live and thrive with Islam.
It's a complete code of life.
It's complete.
No matter who he is, or where he or she is, the Quran is the code, the manual of life. And they will find the answer to every one of their needs if they look in the Quran and the beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm going to come back to our topic, though, because what I wanted to kind of work on in this program, give the viewers of Madni Channel that concept that this isn't just at the age of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam blessing this world. Actually, from the beginning of the universe, all eyes have been focused on the milad of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So on that, you told us about what happened before, some brief matters. You've told us about Hazrat Sayyidina Adam Alayhi Salaam. Did Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam mention the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
Definitely.
Because he's the father figure for major religions.
SubhanAllah. Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, when Nimrud's issue happened, and they began to make the fire of to throw him into the fire. It's very, the journey is amazing. He was a carrier of the Nur, right? And you know, every prophet has one dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you use it at any time,
guaranteed to be accepted. Guaranteed, yeah.
They're all their duas are accepted. But there's one unique, special dua that they keep, and it's like for their respect, for us to understand the value of that dua as well. So Ibrahim alayhi salam hasn't used his dua yet. Now, when he was put on the catapult, and we've gone through the story already, so you have to understand the words, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam from the seventh heaven, right, from just near Sidratul Muntaha, and asked him, do you have any need, right? And now Ibrahim alayhi salam, the fire is in front of him. He could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla would have saved him from this affliction. But he said that Allah is sufficient for me. He knows the state of my affairs. Allah is sufficient for me. He knows the state of my affairs. What's amazing, right? He could have used that dua. But he kept that for later on when he builds the Kaaba. Number two, he knew that I am the carrier of the Nur. I am the carrier of the Nur. There's no way this fire is ever going to touch me. Because this Nur is more powerful than the fire. So now, what happened was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to all the fires of all the world that just become cold upon Ibrahim, but peaceful for him. You can't damage Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? He is the carrier of the Nur.
Allahu Akbar.
He was the carrier of the Nur. It wasn't going to affect him anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to comfort him, was he told him, okay, now fires need to cool down. Every single fire in the world cooled down. So now what's even more amazing, if we take it one step further, is on the night of Mi'raj. So you have to understand, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I don't need any help from Jibreel alayhi salam. He said, Allah is sufficient for me. Well, on the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have to understand where they were, Rumbai. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are beyond the seven skies.
Subhanallah.
And now, Jibreel alayhi salam can't go any further. Jibreel alayhi salam can't go any further. Jibreel alayhi salam, for Ibrahim alayhi salam, had to come all the way down and ask Ibrahim alayhi salam, that do you have any desires? Is there any need that Allah will fulfill? Where Jibreel alayhi salam was in the seventh sky, much an elevated place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the seventh sky, is asking Jibreel alayhi salam, do you need anything?
Subhanallah.
That I can fulfill. And what he turned around, Jibreel alayhi salam said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I went to Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah sent me from the seven skies, but he turned me away. And now that we're here and you've asked me, Jibreel alayhi salam took his dua and he said, okay, ask Allah to allow me to put my wings over the fire
Allahu of Akbar.
So that your ummati can walk past.
Subhanallah. Jibreel par bichaye par ko khabar na ho.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, what I want to bring, because we've not got a lot of time, because I've got two or three important things to discuss before we finish. But you mentioned there something very, very unique. What you said was that every prophet has this special dua. And Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though he's being catapulted into this huge fire, he didn't use the dua to protect himself. He didn't do it. Because he kept it, because he knew that something else, he needed it to ask for something else.
Mm.
So what was that other thing he asked for? And you mentioned he was building the Kaaba. So he built the Kaaba. And now he's going to use this dua.
Let me just have a look at the time. Just before this, I'm going to send one brief point, yeah? If the viewers have been with us throughout the entire series, they'll understand this. Do you know when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was first married to Hazrat Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
I've missed out so many stuff. I'm just telling you this brief point because it's to do with the Kaaba. He was married to Sarah, right? They went to Sham. On the way, there was this king. He would take everyone's wives. He'd kidnap them and basically have them in a hostage situation. So he kidnapped Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha, and they kind of tied up Ibrahim alayhi salam, and she was in this king's palace kind of thing. And every time that king would try to attempt to abuse or have immoral intentions against Hazrat Sarah, she would perform wuzu, read namaz, do dua against him, and he'd basically have a nervous breakdown. He'd have a fit.
He'd lose his mind.
So that happened on three occasions, and then he turned around and said, you know what, I'm done with you. You go back to where you come from, because every time I attempt anything, I get this shivers going through my body. At the same time, what was amazing is Hazrat Hajra radiallahu anha, he had her in hostage as well, and he said that take her as well, because the same thing happens when
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected. Remember, because the nur went from Ibrahim alayhi salam to Hazrat Hajra. You know? And remember, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he kept making this dua, Ya Allah, at an elderly age, I don't have a child, I want a child. You know? So Ibrahim alayhi salam gave the nur to Hazrat Hajra, and then now in Safa and Marwa, now you're going to understand how deep every single thing of the Hajj season is. In Safa and Marwa, you have to understand this. Ibrahim alayhi salam had the nur. He was about to get thrown in the fire. Allah cooled down the fire. Yeah? And Jibreel alayhi salam came from the seventh sky to the earth. Ismail alayhi salam is thirsty. Hajra is thirsty. She's going from mountain to mountain. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salam, because Ismail alayhi salam is the carrier of the nur.
Allahu Akbar.
Sends Jibreel alayhi salam from the seventh sky, again go and preserve this nur carrier and dig a hole so the water of Zamzam came out. Zamzam has a direct link to nur of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you'll understand every single waqi'ah of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's story, even Nuh alayhi salam's story, every single prophet if you go into the depths of it, it's all to do with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam.
And every action that happened in the Quran regarding these amazing personalities, it was for the preservation of Rasulullah.
It just reminded me of that couplet, wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho to kuch na ho, jaan hai wo jahan ki, jaan hai to jahan hai. I mean, every single element that you look at, every single angle you look at, even that one you described, Hazrat Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and now, you know, Hazrat Sayyidina Hajra radiallahu ta'ala running between Safa and Marwa.
It's to do with Rasulullah.
It's to do with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the dua.
The dua.
Right. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam saved the dua. What did he ask for? I mean, this is the friend of Allah azza wa jal. Now let me put it into context. This is the friend of Allah azza wa jal. This is the one who's taken on the world. He's been thrown into the fire, and Allah has cooled the fires of the world down to protect him. This is the one who Jibreel Amin appears before. This is the one who is going through the lands, you know, Baitul Maqdis, everything else here. And this is the one who leaves his child and his wife in a barren desert for the sake of Allah. This is the one who actually comes back and is commanded to sacrifice his son, and he sacrifices his son, you know, and we know about that as well. All these things. This is the friend of Allah, Khalilullah. And he saves that powerful dua. So what was so special that he was going to ask for? Shiraz Bhaiya, help us.
The dua.
I'm intrigued. This dua. So Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam builds the Kaaba. He's the friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's done the greatest, one of the greatest acts, because for the rest of humanity, for the rest of time, everybody is going to face this building and prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he is now making a dua, and it's the dua. What does he ask for?
Rabbana wa ba'ath fihim rasulan minhum, that Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, from this community, send them a rasul that's going to recite your verses upon them and teach them hikmah. Now, hikmah means sunnah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, he's commentated, he's simply put it for us, hikmat means sunnah. He's going to teach them kitab, he's going to teach them sunnah, wa yuzakkihim, he will purify them.
Basically, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, being the great prophet he was, and, you know, in every major religion, he's got a big place because he was such an amazing pinnacle hasti. And he builds the Kaaba, and then he makes the dua that Ya Allah, send the final messenger in my progeny, essentially.
Yeah.
So out of my children.
From my children.
This is thousands of years before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world. But is it true that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, such an amazing messenger, mentioned many times in the Quran, we're covering him, we're not quite finished his Sirat al-Mubarakah yet, his complete character and his life Mubarak. But isn't it a case where being such an amazing prophet with amazing miracles and such a high status and such a great blessing, didn't he say that I'd rather be a ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Ya Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, have this tablet, you know, the divine tablet.
Mm-hmm. Torah.
Says, yep, I have it in front of me, and it says that there's a nation. They will be the last nation, but the first ones on the Day of Judgment. They're going to be created last, but they'll be the first ones to get into Jannat. Oh Allah, Azzawajalla, make them my ummat. The call was given, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam directly. Qala tilka ummatu Ahmad. Now, this is Ahmad is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the skies.
In the heavens, yeah. In the end, the riwayat says that he raised his hands in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And what he said was, Ya Allah, if you cannot make this ummat my ummat, then make me an ummati of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Clearly the Torah mentioned Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Injil meant the original Injil as well. In some of the versions even now it says, until I do not depart, the Comforter will not come. And the Comforter, mercy to the world, rahmatan lil alameen. So it was all there. So every single prophet was making this announcement. But it wasn't just the prophets, was it? All over the world, there were a lot of scholars, intellectuals, and valis of Allah Azza wa Jal who were focused back on this. And we know the famous riwayat of Tubay Awwal Hamiri, isn't it? And he basically had a city built where his scholars said this will be Medina. It's a long story. And so there were different people, even before Akka Kareem, thousands of years before, they were all looking at the arrival of the last and final messenger. And the books of history testify, Shiraz Bhai, people moved to the Arabian Peninsula in the hope that even if they couldn't be the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that children, you know, would be. And so that puts things into context, because A, first of all, Milad-e Pak isn't just an event that happened there in isolation.
Yeah, we've kind of, you know, it's true, the word Milad and Mawlid is actually a very spiritual, deep point of the entire history of civilization.
Everything has been working. This is why when I started off, you remember, I said that from the point the universe was created and Allah Ta'ala created
it was all about this day.
It was about the day of Milad. And since that, everybody's looking forward to that. And then since that the event happened at Akkareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bless this world, everybody is going to be looking back at it from to the day of judgment.
That's the center of civilization.
It's the center of entire creation.
You see, that's where the light is emitted from.
Subhanallah. And it's lighting up the past and the present and the future and everything. Everything. And this is why, you know, we are very fortunate. Because the Nabis, the Walis, all the entire creation who had any sort of, you know, guidance, wanted to be in the Ummat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Views of Madni Channel, we are very blessed. Badi kismat hamari hai ki ummat hai tumhari. You know, we're so privileged to be in the Ummat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is a great honor. It's the greatest treasure we have. And it's about recognizing that and then acting upon it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Namaz is the coolness of my eyes. Why should an ummati missed the opportunity to bring coolness to the eyes of his beloved? The greatest miracle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the Qur'an-i Pak. In this month of Milad, we should recite the Qur'an-i Pak in abundance. We should read the translation, we should read the tafsir, we should recite the Qur'an-i Pak in abundance. We should protect our salah. That is the real essence. You know, I'll leave you with this before I move on to my next segment. The month of Milad-i Pak, decorate your houses, put the lights on, show your children, and see how we can instill love and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu into the hearts of our children. But before I go there, this month of Milad-e Pak is an opportunity for you to renew your oath of allegiance in the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, forget the 11 months. Now, look back at yourself and say, I am an ummati of the best of creation. I am privileged that from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam all the way through for the last, you know, thousands or hundreds and thousands of years, everybody has focused on the arrival of Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And how blessed am I that I am that ummati that everybody has talked about. Now, make yourself proud so that Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and your deeds are presented in the court of the best of creation. See your deeds and are happy in the Gumbad-e Khazra Sharif. We're going to have to move on to our second section. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now, the question we have today, Shazza, is a very interesting one. Because over time, if you look at the generations, and we talked about this to a greater extent between the different generations that have gone past, but from the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people have passed on not only the knowledge that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left. Not only the teachings, not only the Sunnah and the Hadith of Mubarakah, the commentaries of the Quran, but there is one other very crucial thing that is passed from generation to generation to generation over the last 1460 years. And we're finding now that although it was getting stronger and stronger, maybe our failure, that we're failing to pass this on to our next generations. And that is the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the strength of the Muslim, the love of Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so my question to you today, how in the past did our pious predecessors ensure that their children grew up in the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and it was part of their build-up? And how do we make sure that we pass on that love that we acquired from our parents? Yeah, we pass on that love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to our children.
I'm grateful for the scholars of our time and the scholars of the past, especially like Imam Ahmad Raza Khan and the scholars, you know, even before him. The amount of work they have done in attaining that love within the Ummah, that is phenomenal. Because even though like now we are so far away from Medina Sharif, we are so far away from that center point, the powerhouse of our spirituality, the place where the nur is being emitted from. We're so far away from it, but yet we feel so close. And I feel as if that is all thanks to the scholars of today who have kind of kept that connection of the Prophet ﷺ amongst the ummah.
Because they said love doesn't need distance. Distance doesn't free, affect yeah, love. Yeah. So
what it actually does, it makes a craving.
It makes a craving, yeah.
It makes a craving. You know, for
the,
you to
the absence
be.
Makes the heart grow fonder, as they say. In this case, though, you know, when it comes to love, it doesn't matter how far your beloved is, so long as the love is
Subhanallah. You
strong,
could be wherever you want.
You could be wherever you want.
Subhanallah.
Somebody could be sat at the other side of the world and he's sat in Medina. But see, somebody could be sat in Medina and may not be there.
Yunus alayhi salam was in the bottom of the sea.
The belly of
but
the whale.
But that love for Allah was always there.
Allah Akbar.
No matter where they were still doing the zikr. You see, and I, you know, even yourself and I think everyone watching, first of all, we need to be grateful that the scholars and the works that they have done.
Subhanallah.
You know, every single naat. Overall, the Ahlul Sunnah scholars have done so much work on preservation of Medina, Tul Munawwara, and the lands of the Prophet and the relics of the Prophet.
Channel called Madni Channel, Jamia called Jamiatul Medina, Madrasatul Medina, Maktabatul Medina. Everything evolves around Medina, Medina, Medina.
Graduates are called Madni.
Graduates are called Madni.
Is, you know, that's what I mean. What a Miriam Sunnah, for me personally, I see
Madni Kafla.
Madni Kafla, Madni Recharge. What for personally me, what Amir al-Sunnat and even I think most of the out Islami people, what Amir al-Sunnat has done for us and fed us the love of the Prophet and just look at the way he has done it. Yeah, he has wrapped every single thing. If this Daud Islami was a house, he has wrapped every single pillar of the house in Medina Sharif.
But you've got to admit, he's a genius, isn't he? Amir al-Sunnat.
You see, I only realized when I went to Medina Sharif myself.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
What Amir al-Sunnat has done.
The reason I say he's a genius is this, that, you know, if you wanted to set out to teach Islam to people, you could teach them the rules of fiqh, you could teach them this, you could teach them that, and maybe you'd be able to succeed in a certain to a certain extent, and some of them would learn more, it would last a certain time. Amir al-Sunnat hasn't done that initially. What he's done is he's taught you the love of Medina, the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and once he's taught you that, everything else fell into place. What a lot of times we do, is we make that mistake. We try to convince people with reason, and we try to convince people of religion with our intellect and logical arguments and everything else. Amir al-Sunnah doesn't do that. When was the last time Amir al-Sunnah tried to convince you? He just gives you the love of Medina,
down
and
to it.
Everything else flows from it.
Subhanallah.
So the question.
Yes, so first of all, decorate, the way Amir al-Sunnat has decorated Daud Islami with the words Medina, right? Same way, decorate your entire house with this kind of language. You know, in your approach, it doesn't necessarily mean get a paintbrush and write Medina everywhere. It's in everything. For example, if you're eating, Sunnat method. If you're about to go sleep,
Subhanallah.
Sunnat method. If you're waking up, Sunnat method. Clipping the nails, Sunnat method. Performing ghusl on a Friday, Sunnat method. Whatever you're doing in your lifestyle, if the seniors of the house are practicing, implementing that Sunnah and that love, automatically that will radiate in your house. It will affect everyone living under that roof to some extent. So initially, I think the first thing is, the first principle is adapt that love yourself, and then spoon feed the people of your house that love. Just give it to them the way our seniors have done it to us.
See, our children, for example, children as they grow up like stories.
Stories, Subhanallah.
And what better stories to tell them
about?
I mean, a lot of these stories are fictitious.
At infant age, you know this as well. Rumbai, that a child is looking for role models at a young age. Psychologically, they're looking for role models. They want to act like someone so they know where they're going. Technically, the father is a role model of the house for a boy, and the mother is a role model for the woman in the house, right? But they're all looking for this special role model. And the Arabs were proper good at this. Their father would be their role model, and everyone wanted to be like their father because their father was the man of the area, the man of the tribe. Everyone respected him in the tribe. You know, he had the money, he had X, Y, Z, he had the strength, he could fight in the tribes of the Arabs. Now, so every child in his mind is looking for this role model, And if you was to teach him the best role model, right?
Subhanallah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't stop there though, Harun bhai. You see, we know that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, everything he learned, every quality he had, everything about his life, all came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Bishak.
He was gentle and he was very, very generous. And he hold firm to the truth, right? He never lied. He was Siddiq, right? That was a quality of the Prophet ﷺ that he attained from the Prophet ﷺ. Asha, Umar ibn al-Khattab, we know everything he learned, every skill he had, everything about him, he learned from the Prophet ﷺ. He was fierce. Shaitan would run away from him. And Medina Sharif began to, there was an earthquake. He grabbed his stick and told it to be, you know, stop, be stationary, stay still. It never been an earthquake ever since. He was fierce. Shaitan would run away from him. This was quality of the Prophet. Usman Ghani was soft. Ghani. He was very
generous.
Generous. A soft, like a pure, sincere haya. Prophet gave him two of his daughters in nikah. He was a very bahaya person. That was a quality of the Prophet. Now you are Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. He had so many beautiful qualities. Not only was the strength that he had,
courage,
the courage that he had, but it was the knowledge that he had. The knowledge that he had, especially, you know, the two on his Zulfiqar, the two ends that split off. One of them represents ilm, one of them represents adal, knowledge and justice.
SubhanAllah.
He was very, so that was his qualities. Now, just these four. Remember, there's 124,000 companions, more or less. But if you just look at these four companions, whatever they learn from one source. And each one of these companions resemble one quality of the Prophet ﷺ. One quality. And these companions implemented that as much as they could.
Mm.
Right? So teaching the children, the lives of the companions, what you are actually doing is teaching them every single quality of the Prophet.
SubhanAllah.
As much as you can. Because remember, the qualities of the Prophet are endless. So basically, the Prophet is, he is upon the best character, right? But the companions, they all have one attribute of the Prophet that they took away from him. And they mastered that attribute and that quality to such an extent that we see, when we see Adal, even though it came from the Prophet ﷺ, we think of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. When we think a person is generous, we think Hazrat Usman ibn Ghani. But all of these are qualities from the Prophet. So my point is, stories of the Prophet and all the companions, you will get that child. He will pick out one of those companions. He will pick out one of those qualities as a role model. He might like Khalid bin Walid. He was a brave man. Mm. Remember, all this came from the Prophet ﷺ as well. Your child will select a role model because that's what he's doing in this infant age. When you teach him all the companions.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you are regularly talking to him about the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're regularly telling him that your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Prophet, cares about you, loves you. If you're in distress, your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prays for you. If you're in problem, you can turn to your Prophet.
You know, that ayat comes to my head, yeah? Let me look at the time. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيَ. A man will run away from his brother on the day of judgment. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, his mother and father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي, his wife and his child. He'll run away from. Question is, where's he going to go?
Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah.
You see, everyone's going to go to the Prophet ﷺ on that day anyway. Yani, just get them there now. Get them there now. They're all going to go to Adam, then Ibrahim, Nuh, in the sequence. That day, many faces will be glowing and sparkling.
Aaj le unki pana,
SubhanAllah.
The Day of Judgment is the climax of everything. And yet the Day of Judgment, the scholars say, having looked at all the Ayah Mubarakas and the Hadith Mubarakah, is actually a day where Allah is going to show the world the true status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of his creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So coming back to our question, one thing that you've mentioned is stories telling the children about how brilliant Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And then the scholars also say, teaching your children to recite Durood-e-Pak for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly. talking about in your gatherings about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking your children to mehfil-e milads. You know, a lot of the time in the olden days we used to go to lots, and these days I found, especially after COVID, I found that people are doing a lot less mehfils for some reason. I don't know why. There's been that break, but there shouldn't be. You know, you should do this because it brings great blessings to your home.
Definitely.
And your children, you know, in the house that there's blessings as well. Those children are learning. They're listening to so many Nate Paks. And this was the other thing as well. Change the environment in your home. For example, I know a lot of people who all day they have Nate Paks on. I know people who all day keep Medina live on. So they just show live pictures of Medina Sharif. I know people who, you know, all day they'll have Beyonds on. Or they'll have Madni channel on with Amir al-Sunnah, Madni Muzakras. And when the children are constantly hearing talk about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are constantly, and gradually over time, it's a small effect, but gradually over time, as they get older, every year by year, the love builds up. And when your child gets to 15, 16 and 17, and they get to college, and they get to that age, at that point, if somebody even vaguely tries to challenge the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unfortunately there are people, aren't there? Then your child will not have any of it. And this is why it's important that even in our madrasas as well, we should teach them the basics of our aqaid in relation to the powers that Allah gives to His beloved Prophet, and the power that Allah and the knowledge that Allah gives His beloved Habib, the miracles of the Prophet. We need to teach our children. I mean, Nabi Kareem's life Mubarak, every moment was a miracle. You know, the mu'jizat, the miracles that the Prophets have, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then, but yet, Nabi Kareem's life Mubarak, every moment was a miracle. And so when we teach our children these miracles, they won't be fascinated by these fake, you know, film characters. They will say, oh, this is
which,
all fake.
Unfortunately, right now, a lot of the
taking
youth
hope.
Are.
It is. Yeah. It is. Our young children, and this is the danger, our young children are growing up thinking that these fictitious characters they see with superpowers are in some way could be real, and yet the real people who Allah has blessed them,
they don't know what they're missing, innit?
They don't know what they're missing.
They don't know what they're missing.
Because, I mean, you know, the powers that, I mean, you know, never will you have a character in any of these fictitious films who can bring the sun back after it's set, or who can split the moon into two, or who can perform all these amazing music. I mean, you know, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretch the hand mubarakah and streams flow from fingers. Now, when your child hears about this and say, you know, and they say, this is not something that's, you know, fictitious like a film. This is true events. You know, the companions were there. Or when one lamb is slaughtered, one small baby lamb is slaughtered, and a whole army eats from it, just because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put their saliva mubarak, their lobby,
the biggest one when the moon was splitting off.
It doesn't get, you know, it doesn't get greater than
imagine that. Seeing the entire ocean being split into two with a gesture. These are things that, you know, fictional movies play, right? But
our prophets, this is what we need to teach our children. And so why give your children a lie to build his character on? When alhamdulillah, we are part of the religion that gives us the truth and shows us, it doesn't get more amazing.
And if you know the verse, what the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ashabi kan nujum, fa bi ayyihim ihtadaytum." If your child falls in love with any companion, don't worry about it, he will always be guided. Any one of them, my companions are like stars. You follow any one of them, you'd be guided.
I think we've got to teach our children love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and respect and honor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So say for example, in your house you have Nalene Park, you have, you know, pictures of Medina Sharif, and your children will appreciate it, and you know, you have this love and affection. Adab is perhaps the most important thing, you know, respect, honor, because the glorious Quran commands us to that, and it's important for our children to understand that. So perhaps the answer to the question is this, that every moment of the life of your child should evolve around the Sunnah Bid'ah, Have you read the dua that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to go to sleep? Have you read the dua for waking up? Read Salatu Wasalam before and afterwards. When you get in the car, read Salatu Wasalam. And totally his life will be immersed in Salatu Wasalam and reading the duas and acting upon the sunnahs. And then at the same time, you're giving him these stories as well. You're taking him to Mahafil. DawatIslami.net is brilliant. You've got simple books with lots of stories. And you've got Amir al-Sunnah and Dawat Islami's Maktabah's designed books, especially for the children. Especially, I mean, to the extent that English Madni channel, you know.
I was watching the cartoon ones, you know, the Madni channel.
The cartoons. What else do you want? I mean, you've got everything. Everything's there. You just need to make the effort. Oh. The companions had such love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even the saliva Mubarak that came out of the mouth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't let them touch the floor. They used to fight over the water of wuzu. This was how amazing it was, because they knew that everything evolves around the love of this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mirat Zuhuri, Ehuddin Imane, Pyar Sone Aka Da Ibadatan Di Jani. The essence of your worship, the essence of everything. Honor, respect and revere this Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then do your worships and they'll be accepted in the court of Allah azza wa jal. May Allah azza wa jal give us the true happiness of this beautiful month of Milad-e-Pak. May Allah azza wa jal make us better ummatis. We're so privileged to be ummatis, but we need to do something as well. Make us better ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we become better by protecting our salah, reading the Quran, increasing the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having mahfils in our homes, decorating our homes, and teaching our children the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if we teach them today, then tomorrow they will teach their children. If we miss this opportunity, maybe in our family cycle, in our progeny, there may not come people who always look back at the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal never let that happen. You know, Allah azza wa jal give us the tawfiq. You know, every generation we produce ashiqi rasul, devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.